The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
All right. What am I supposed to do now? How am I supposed to lead the show? I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to say. I know what I saw last night, but I feel like we've done this before. The Russillo Show, Will Cain today. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Best phones, best networks, no contracts. Will LeBron James go to the Houston Rockets? Is Will Cain going to tear it up at happy hour tonight? We're going to assess the quarterbacks that we used to love 2 years ago versus the quarterbacks that we love this year. Young dudes.
But first. What are you supposed to talk about?
You got to lead with the Pats. I mean, you don't have to. If you had some really great, clever, written out take on some other thing that I would defer, I would say, okay, yeah, we can do that instead. But I think you have to lead with the Pats when they go down and lose to a Miami team the way they did. I mean, it's a one-score game, not if you watched it.
And what are you supposed to say?
Okay, here's what I would do. I would go, do I come in today and go, man, this Pats team that we all love, number one in everybody's power rankings, you know, some defensive problems again. Brady was terrible on third down. So you could do two different things. You could go, oh, that defense that was so bad in the beginning of the year, is it actually sneaky, not that good, and tricking us for a few in-between months, now they're going to be bad, and I can't think about them as a Super Bowl winner. Everything with New England is, can this team win a Super Bowl? Or I could do the, did Brady turn 40 last night?
Oh, yes, that one.
Is anybody doing that one today?
Yes. Yes.
So he got old?
Overnight.
Last night.
He went from MVP candidate. To finger slipping off the edge of the cliff in one night.
Well, how do you want to do the topic?
Let's start with Brady.
Okay, no problem.
But the theme, Ryan, that you're hinting at is the same. Whether or not it's the Patriots in general or Tom Brady in particular, it's how can we overreact to a sample size of one game? How can we reevaluate everything that we know, even after we've been warned? How can we make this same mistake again? The warning, when it comes to the Pats, is we were granted a four-game sample size at the beginning of the season that the Pats defense is horrendous.
The worst. It was the worst in the NFL about a month into the season.
And it was true.
Yeah.
But it was carried over to is a fatal flaw and can't be fixed.
It was, I think it was okay. At the time, you'd look at the personnel and you'd go, is that front really good enough? Can they be an average defense? Because even last year when they were number one in points, it was weird. It felt weird. It felt like they weren't a dominant defense. And yet I looked at it going into last night. They were fourth in scoring defense. Now they're fifth in scoring defense. And yes, the personnel along that front is not impressive. I mean, when Flowers is out, you're like, okay, who are the dudes that I'm even afraid of? And Cutler looked good against him last night. But wouldn't it be stupid? When we just did this a couple months ago, like if you were off the Pats, because you go, you know what, that defense, it can't be fixed. They fixed it. They're giving you evidence of the thing you're thinking about doing by getting off of New England this season. We're not even talking about past seasons. This season, they already went from this awful, awful defense to righting the ship for 2 months to a bad performance last night. And yardage-wise, they're still terrible. But they're, again, they're fifth in scoring defense. So
29th in yardage.
Yeah, they're one of the, yeah, again, four worst teams.
Right, but fifth in points allowed.
That's a pretty wide gap. And the second
one, it's also the kind of statistic that you should raise red flags on. It is the kind of statistic you should go, do you trust that points per game are always going to be low when yardage is high?
Well, there's a bunch of different ways that we could do this. The metrics will tell you it's not very good. Like I was looking at some of that stuff today. So forget the scoring defense. Look at the metrics. It's not very good. It's not very good. I mean, you go, okay, but, like you really want to bet against this team?
No.
Because if you've been saying, I'm playing the other side of the Pats bet, you're not just broke. You're like shelters ask you to leave. Okay?
Well, and now you're the guy in the corner of the shelter mumbling to himself.
I was right.
About like, Brady and the cliff. Because that guy, he's not just thrown out of the shelter. He's talking to himself. And those guys do exist. You asked if anybody's saying that today. Are people waking up today going, I told you so? Yes, but the guy who's saying Brady turned 40 last night, and Brady had a horrible game. Brady had his worst game of the season.
He was bad last night. Now, Howard, the corner, turned into Deion Sanders.
God.
Those two picks by the second pick by him going one-on-one with Brandon Cooks and catching up to him and catching it over his shoulder.
Dude,
that's one of the best interceptions you're ever going to see.
I laid off Twitter. I was like, I don't know how to do
this. I like
that.
Yeah. That's good.
But that pick made me tweet. A very simple and obvious tweet. That's one hell of an interception. He hit the Jets, and not only did he hit the Jets and suck up Cooks, he caught that. I mean, it was pure hands, like on the run. There was no body catching. It was beautiful. That guy, Xavier Howard, I mean, he's the Dolphins in general, by the way, they have some players. Xavier Howard, Kenyon Drake is emerging as a real player in this league. But we're not going to reevaluate Tom Brady overnight. And the only guys that are saying, this is the cliff, this is the one I was telling you about, are the guys who've been telling you about it for a year. The guys have been saying this is coming, this is how it happens, it happens quickly, fruit turns overnight, meat goes quickly on the table, are saying this is it now. And I would say one game versus an MVP-level performance throughout the year when he turns 40.
Will Kane, The Russillo Show, ESPN Radio, Straight Talk Wireless, nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks. We're going to talk Embiid coming up a little bit later, LeBron to Houston, this article that came out, executives talking about it. I agree with you on the Brady thing. Like, you don't get to be the front runner for the MVP, but I think now him having the game last night allows Russell Wilson to be maybe back in this conversation with the game that he had against Jacksonville with Wentz being hurt.
I think it opens up the door to Antonio Brown. I think there's a real conversation about a wide receiver winning MVP, and the performance of those two guys and Wentz's injury makes that an open door that we should be discussing.
I think Breeze should be mentioned in it. I was looking at some of Breeze's stuff this morning. I know his total touchdowns aren't as high as they normally be. The guy's completing 72% of his passes, and he's top five in yardage. So now that we've reset what that group is, and this is just two dudes hanging out doing it, I've never been one to believe that the Brady thing just gets to happen. Like, he's the guy that just gets to decide to not age. Like, you really want to tell me avoiding certain fruits is the key? If you really, you're telling me the pajamas and the sleeping. And now I'll admit at home, I crank the thermostat down a few degrees at home at night just to increase my age.
That's what they say.
Yeah, like I'm going, you know what? Let's get in the mid-60s here, Rye. Let's live a little bit longer.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah. You got a lot of living ahead of you.
Maybe I should do that.
So.
I said, where are you right now?
This is the whole 66 or so, 66 what? Degrees.
71.
Yeah, I used to be a 70. And now I'm down to 66, and I got to tell you, I'm loving it.
Don't toss and turn. Don't wake up in the middle of the night. Just hibernating.
I wake up all night. I watched Papillon the other night. Does not hold up. Leper Colony. Misspoke.
I need to see that.
Yeah, Papillon. Steve
That's
McQueen.
The second sell you put on me in the last 2 days on this movie.
Yeah, I'm in a big Steve McQueen face here. Speaking of hot guys, so back to Brady.
Yeah.
I don't think just because you have the method and the pliability and the diet and all the stuff that you get to just play till 45, although I respect the determination, almost talking yourself into it. It's not a lie if you believe it approach that Brady has to aging.
Like, yeah, nah, you're wrong on this one. This isn't LeVar Ball manifesting it with his words. It will be because I say it will be. This is a dude that has totally adjusted his lifestyle, put some thought, research, and science into it. He's not eating nightshades and strawberries, sleeping in the chambers you're talking about, wearing the special pajamas, doing the stretches that you talked about, the pliability. Every single aspect of his life, from the ice cream to the girlfriend, are coordinated so that he can be an NFL quarterback at 45. I think he does get to be the guy.
So you think he does?
I think he's the guy.
Okay, we disagree on that, but at turning 40 in August, I don't think it's crazy that he's still playing really well with the way he plays, the fact that he's going to know his offense and everywhere everyone's supposed to be the entire time. Like, it's just a different level, but I imagine there's going to be some hit where he looks old, and then he'll be bad at playing quarterback.
Somebody tweeted last night, it might have been Pablo Torre, said, the dude that won't eat a strawberry just lost to the dude that said, I don't need to have cardio because I play quarterback.
Yeah, that was Pablo. It was a good tweet. All right, coming up, I want you to hear from Belichick because he went all-time frustrated Belichick. We've got three cuts for you that, again, you don't have to like him. You won't after this. You won't go, you know, I really like him. But they're just perfect. And why the 2016 class in the NFL has completely surpassed the 2015 class. With Will Kane, The Russillo Show, it's ESPN Radio.
In life, there are talkers and there are doers. Sometimes it's not hard to tell the difference. Mike Bloomberg has spent his life getting big things done. Starting his business out of a one-room office, Mike built a company with 20,000 employees, all with good pay and quality health care. Elected mayor in the aftermath of 9/11, Mike got to work helping rebuild a shaken city, creating nearly 500,000 new jobs and expanding health care for nearly 700,000 New Yorkers. Now, there's a clear choice. Do you want a debater or a doer? Someone who can fix healthcare, who's done it, a guy who's unafraid of tough challenges, who has a track record creating jobs, who's taken on the NRA and won. That's Mike Bloomberg, a proven leader who can unite our country and get big things done. That's who can beat Trump. That's who we need in the White House.
I'm Mike Bloomberg, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Mike Bloomberg 2020.
An interesting creature inhabits the flat, arid plains of many an automobile dashboard, the bobblehead. It's most agreeable and will nod along to anything, despite having no brain function. But when the bobblehead hears how GEICO not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, he'll nod even more vigorously because he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to GEICO is a no-brainer. Easy, bobblehead, easy. You're going to get whiplash.
I want to ask you about what happened on First Take today. We got Will Kane, the Russillo Show. It's ESPN Radio. Can I ask you about it?
Yeah, weren't we going to have a recurring segment? What do people hate you for today?
We could. We could definitely do it, right?
Right.
So you guys talked, what, Trump, most influential member of sports? I'm going to get to this Belichick stuff here in a second and also talking about young QBs. What was that? Was that the segment?
We have talked off air several times, and
yes.
I've made a personal promise to myself to have like social media play less of a role in my thought process and dictating the show. I did look at my social media a minute ago, and these are the top two tweets. I hate Will Kane so much. Second, you have the most biased opinion. And I thought to myself, is that about Brady? What did I say about Brady? And then I looked up and I see that.
That it's re-airing.
First Take is re-airing right
yeah.
now. Who's the most influential person in sports? Sports Business Journal, which is an insider trader magazine for the business of sports, said Donald Trump, number one, most influential person in sports in 2017. I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's an easy call.
You think it is Trump?
Oh, it's not even close.
More
those two
than
guys disagreed.
They disagreed? Who did they offer up? I'm curious.
Stephen A. said Roger Goodell, and Max said the people that run sports networks. Like, I guess that would be, you know, John Skipper, Les Moonves, I guess at CBS. He runs all of CBS. McManus runs CBS Sports. Whatever. The
right.
guys that pay for the rights.
Shanks. Yeah, yeah, right, right. Oh, that's interesting. So then you guys, didn't you have something else planned, or can we not do this?
Yeah, we had a whether or not Michael Bennett should have been suspended. I'm happy to talk about this because he keeps getting passes, and that segment got bumped today. Michael Bennett. How did Michael Bennett get, like, the ultimate, like, it's not, what is the card he got? He's got, like, media will talk about your indiscretions today. Nope, laid this card on the table. Michael Bennett pass card. Should he have been suspended?
And so you
rolling up on Linder's legs, trying to blow out his Achilles or possibly rip his knees up.
So you felt like he got a pass today because you went long with one segment and then you had to kill the Bennett segment.
Think about that. Donald Trump saved Michael Bennett today from a discussion of his.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Tweet the show, 1-800-Flowers.com, Twitter feed, at Russillo Show. Capture the excitement of Christmas morning with 1-800-Flowers.com. When you order 12 peppermint roses for only $29.99, you'll get an extra half dozen and a vase for free. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com/ESPN.
Don't you think that Donald Trump's the most influential person in sports in 2017?
I don't know. He's fired off a few nasty tweets. I don't really know.
I mean, he multiplied the number of anthem protesters by a factor of, I don't know, 6, 7, 10. He turned it into hundreds. When you say influential, you don't mean you're cheering on the role of that person. Influence doesn't have to be positive. It can be negative. So you're not taking sides here. But no matter how you cut it, like NFL, Steph Curry, LeBron James, who's visiting the White House, where the Olympics will be in 2024 and 2028, the Winter Olympics in Seoul, Korea, or not in Seoul, Korea, but in South Korea.
We already did that, yeah.
Two months from now. He's influencing sports more than any single individual, I think. I don't even think it's a close call.
Yeah, but I mean, he's the president, so he has the platform to send out this stuff that then we react to on shows, and people act like, oh, he sent this tweet, like, what does this mean? And you go like, well, how do you not know the game by now? Like,
right.
How can you not figure out the game? So I ignore it. I mean, I don't really do it that much because I don't. It's almost like somebody whose takes I don't believe in. Like, I don't want to play sound of them and then go, that's a ridiculous take. Because I'll be like, this is an act.
You know those internet word clouds they do? Like, on, like after a presidential debate, they do word clouds of what the person
yeah.
said.
Yeah, yeah.
The biggest words with
like
the word he mentioned
bubble?
Most.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think if we did a word cloud of Russillo Show over the past year, where would the word Trump be? I would suggest it's big. Trump. LeBron, Kaepernick.
It wouldn't be as big
LeVar,
on this show as it would be other shows.
That's a fact, but it'd still be big.
Yeah, but we haven't done a ton of it. We just haven't. Like, I don't know what the segment
what
is.
What would the word be that was bigger, though? LeBron?
The cap goes up? Say the phrase, the cap goes up quite a bit. Maybe that would be last year. But I guess what I can't understand in deciding where you were at politically, and I got to play this Belichick stuff here in a second, but like friends of mine that I love these people, like close friends, and then they start their day firing off tweets of the president because he said something stupid, and I go, like, what? How? Why would you want to drive yourself that crazy? Like, why? I can understand being so passionate about things. I can understand being really upset. And I like, there's times where I go, dude, are you serious? Like, you couldn't just, but it's not. Like, yes, this is the game. This is what I'm going to do. I mean, anytime you're talking about me, I'm going to do these things. And I have these close friends that I think are like really smart people. And I go, you've already worked yourself up into a massive emotional frenzy and you probably haven't even showered yet. Anyway. Somebody that takes himself, or at least this moment, a little bit less seriously, that's Bill Belichick, okay? So Belichick, after the loss, and they were bad, okay? So don't ever make the mistake with that loss at Miami that the Pats were in it, that it was a 27-20 game. Although it felt like for this weird time, when Dolphins kept passing and passing and passing, you're going, do you guys not want to run out the clock? Like, what do you want to do here? But Dolphins were clearly the better team last night, right? So Belichick was asked a bunch of questions, and the first was trap game. Were you looking ahead to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think any of the guys might have been looking ahead to next week if we pass Miami.
No. Any questions about the game or not?
That was a question about the game. But the give me a break, that's when you know. You go, oh, probably done tonight.
Do you think a reporter that gets burned like that just takes his pen and go home?
Yeah.
I'm done. That's it.
Yeah, I thought that was relevant. Damn it. You got me again.
It's like asking a question of the professor. That's the relationship he's been able to cultivate with the press. Do I approve of your question?
Yeah, but the professor you can't stand.
Right, but yeah. You need approval from. For some reason, for a grade, for the shine, for whatever it is, for validation. You're like, God, I hope he likes this question. And do you think the guy that asked the question, the one rare question that Belichick indulges and goes on like a, you know, 2-minute rant about the intricacies of punting or something, that guy goes back home. They all go back to the press box. He's like, you really nailed that one, man.
No, I think what happens is, look, I worked up there for a while, and some of the Pats people that were on the beat all the time would look down at, like, the basketball people. Like, oh, what are you doing? You doing Celtics tonight? 3 rings. I'd be like, do you have any rings? I forget which plays did you make against the Rams in New Orleans? There was this
adversarial
almost
press there.
Yeah, it was almost this thing where it's like, oh, covering the seas. What are you guys talking about? You guys talking about a Ricky Davis trade? So there would be some that were confrontational or some that couldn't stand Belichick that would ask off the beat, and they would have had to have all sorts of juice with their newspaper or whatever. And then there was, you know, like a Mike Reese has been around forever. Mike Reese asks good questions. I think there's some people that he respects that are there all the time, that they know the game, the right football questions to ask. But then there would be the dude who just wants to not have Belichick get mad at him, and it's the total butt-kissing move. And he'd be like, hey, Bill, how do you address a team like this? What do you say to the guys? And then Bill will kind of ask it because it's not, you know, he just go, well, you know, I'll grab sandwiches, get on a plane. Hopefully it's a good movie. But you could always see it and be like, you're just the dude that, like, you're talking. You're not even asking him anything. Here's Belichick on why they struggle in the 305.
Can you put your hand? Can you predict the reason why there seems to be continuous struggles every year you come down here? It's 4 out of 5 years now you've lost down here.
And I'm not
sure anything why here is such a struggle.
Were you here last year?
Well, last year you lost the previous
game. So, look, every game's its own game, okay? I mean, I don't think what happened 5 years ago has anything to do with tonight.
And the best one, the onside kick that was a little different, where they just hit this little dribbler and they all kind of ran together after it.
Can you explain the onside kick, what happened with that kick?
They recovered it.
Accurate.
That cut's missing the punch that he puts in most of them, like, give me a break.
The give me a break one's the best one.
Well, don't underestimate the okay, okay? In the second cut, every game's different, okay? The okay is that's the insult in the whole thing. Don't you get this?
We wanted to do this thing on quarterbacks from the 2015-16 class. We'll do that a little bit later, but there is the update that needs to happen with LeBron James. Could it be the Houston Rockets? I will tell you kind of how this story plays out. That's next. Will Kane, the Russillo Show, ESPN Radio.
Nobody's gonna stop me. No, nothing is beyond me. I'm coming at you faster. No stopping doesn't matter.
Now that Human Resources VP Meg Ward has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's totally owning it at work. She even has her own hype song.
I'ma blow it up now. Hey, I'm a body in motion. Hey, making waves like the ocean. Hey.
My workforce is really diverse. You know, different hours, different skill sets, different pay grades. We're motivating and engaging the right people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
A piece in ESPN the magazine on Joel Embiid from Ramona Shelburne has some great thoughts, and Embiid extremely aware of what it's like, your role as a superstar in the NBA and how it changes. Will Kane today, the Russillo Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, will compare rates for you so you get the best deal, even if it's not with us, saving you time and money. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today. But right now I want to get to this piece from Sam Amick, USA Today, right? And we're hoping to maybe get him on a little bit later today. And it's a big part of First Take. And you already see the graphic bar. It says, NBA execs believe Rockets have, quote, real chance to sign LeBron. Because from the piece, it says rival executives also believe the Rockets will have a real chance. The funny thing is that the quote on the TV show is from the piece that's the writer, where this is him just talking to people around the league going, Houston has a real spot. So then it becomes, well, what does this actually mean?
Well, when we talked about this earlier, I got to tell you, like, no analysis into this, no thought, no first take on this. It doesn't make sense to me that LeBron James ends up in Houston. It just doesn't seem like the career path that LeBron James would take. In other words, I think he wants to be high profile. I think he wants to be transformative. I think he wants to end up in places where he can leave a legacy, like Cleveland. I think Miami was about being with his buddies, and I think everything adds up to ending up a Los Angeles Laker. A storied franchise, some young talent, just bought a new home in L.A. That makes sense. Houston is hard to make sense on all of those factors except for one. It is most likely the best opportunity for him to win a championship and to compete with the Golden State Warriors.
Well, the Rockets thing has gone around for a while as a possible landing spot. So I don't know if this is real, like, intel, or if this is what happens at times. And it happens. Like, NBA people that work for teams gossip the same way we gossip about it on the air, but it just sounds better when they say it, okay? And some of them are on point, and some of them are just kind of having fun, kicking around, talking to a reporter, going, yeah, you know, I could see Houston. Can I point out something, though, with you? I feel like, and you may get really annoyed with me right now, Will.
Okay.
But when you guys
nervous. Where's this going?
Present your positions on the TV show.
Okay.
I almost feel like you guys will, like, go, hey, do I have seven deep? Do I have seven reasons deep? That will fortify my position. Do I have? Can I go to eight things? Can I add a ninth thing? Him having a house in L.A. means literally nothing.
He just bought a new one.
It doesn't. But that means he's already had one. So why didn't he go before? So, like, if you're doing, hey, I don't see the Rockets, I don't think it's a fit. Then I think.
By the way, I don't think that's nine deep. We're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
Okay.
I think LeBron buying a house last week, a new, what was it, $23 million mansion.
Yeah.
I think, at the very least, that's super fishy. If it's going to be your fourth home, what's wrong with the one you had? Why do you need a second? Hey, can you deny that's investing in L.A.?
Oh, my God. What am I, on the witness seat? So this is my point. What the hell does that have to do with anything? Yes, he'll be paying taxes in L.A., and those will go to community outreach programs. Like, technically, I have to answer yes that it's investing in L.A., but why, like, the L.A. Lakers storied franchise, not the Houston Rockets. Okay, fine. Like, you're visually, you can't see him in the Rockets jersey versus the Lakers jersey. What is the young talent on L.A. other than a million question marks right now? Do you think LeBron James wants anything to do with the LeVar Ball deal and his son? He really is like, I can't wait to sign up with this. This is going to be sick.
Can I tell you something, Ryan? You may get irritated with me.
Okay.
So, but your show. You do this thing. I just said it was my first take that had no analysis behind it. It is simply, yeah, I can't picture him in Houston versus picturing him in L.A. I do think the house thing is very fishy, and I think you're waving your hand at it. But you took the whole thing I caveated and said, yeah, just letting you know my gut instinct here, my first take.
Yeah.
You took that and started to attack it when it was never designed to be attacked. I told you that wasn't 7 or 8 deep. That was 0 deep. That was the Will Cain, I can't picture him going to Houston, Texas and wearing a pinstripe jersey take. My well-researched take, I know what I'm talking about take, is yes, this roster with his best friend or one of his 2 or 3 best friends on it, with James Harden going bananas at 32 points and 9 assists a game, makes a ton of sense if you really actually want to use titles as your legacy. That if your point is beating the Golden State Warriors, this is your opportunity. That one, which we didn't get to because you want to jump on my LA take.
I did.
Is my real analysis.
I liked it better.
I still think he's going to be a Laker, though.
Okay, but if we were on the TV show, if we were on First Take, I think the goal of the show is, okay, can I beat you over the head with numerous examples, even if the last if example 3, 4, and 5 are thin.
Well, dude, you and I talked the other day, and you told me this. You go, I think mistakes some people make, is they shoot their whole like evidence holster.
Yeah, I got you.
They shoot all their bullets on their first go and don't leave anything for their rebuttal, right? And
yes.
You and I talked about that because you're gonna have to on First Take where you have 10 minutes. For a single debate, you're going to have to be able to rebut your opponent 2 or 3 times.
Right.
So it would be wise to have, 4 or 5 points. And you could go the Donald Trump route and just have one that you hammer over and over and over because simplicity usually wins the day. But yeah, I do like to go 3 or 4 deep. 9, not 9.
Not
3
9.
Or 4.
No, but there was something
more
else recently
where more evidence is better
than
less.
I went, yep. No, I think that you can actually hurt your points
by that last little extra one that didn't have a lot of weight to it.
Yeah, by just like going, hey, here's another one, and you go, that's not really even relevant, so now I'm focusing on that one that was weak and thin, and now your first two aren't as strong.
That's good advice. Seriously.
Do you guys need me in the pre-show meeting at First Take?
Well, I don't. I think that's pretty clear. I can give you those other guys' numbers if you want.
No, I'm big fan. Big fan of everybody. All right. Will Cain has a social calendar dilemma.
Do I or do you?
Oh, I think.
Or do we?
I think we both do.
We should sort this out on air.
Yeah, we should. All right. So we're going to have, I don't even know if it's story time. It'll be fun. And if it isn't, I'll pivot and we'll play Belichick sound. But yeah, something very, very unique could go down tonight. And it involves all of your favorite talkers. Will Cain, The Russillo Show, ESPN Radio.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on homeowners insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you build a giant pillow fort in your living room. And when people ask why you have a pillow fort in your living room, you say it's for your dog. And when they ask, well, what kind? You say, chocolate lab. And weave a web of lies that's almost as intricate as the crown molding in Fort Pillow. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the pillow soft fortress you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
Joel Embiid gets it. Well, he gets it now because he's winning, or at least the team's winning more than you'd expect. He's playing great. A feature on him. The balls to Lithuania. Will Cain will blow your mind with his take on this.
Somebody just tweeted that it makes them sad when you're in that fight.
I don't think that was a fight.
I don't either. We were smiling.
We were. It was a very cordial disagreement. But I wish I had brought better evidence.
Couple extra weak ones would have sealed the deal.
Just a few irrelevant just sentences at the end of my initial point. Nailed it. I'm not talking about you. We got a couple things. We got a lot of things going down. The social calendar.
Yeah.
We all work hard here, okay? Is the job the hardest? We're not digging ditches, but it's demanding. My man Will over here is away from his family half the week.
That's true.
I wouldn't be surprised if your wife started going through your phone. I don't believe you're doing anything wrong, but I mean, on the road.
Yeah,
the
we're cool.
Salesman.
We're good.
You know, you're
cool.
Good. I know you're
right.
You're boring.
I'm boring.
No, you don't do anything.
I'm boring.
You're like, can we move on? Anyway, moving on.
Not
the talents
very far,
in town.
Though.
All the talents in town tonight. And that means some of the local lounges, some of the happy hours, it's going up on a Tuesday. So you're in one of these hotels. So are you going to just Uber from spot to spot?
Oh, I don't stay at the high-end hotel. So you're right. All the on-air personalities at ESPN are supposedly converging on Bristol today,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Which means, you know, happy hour tonight ought to be a place to, you know, CNBC,
exactly. Like, wear something nice. Hey, what's new?
Right.
Yeah.
And
so are you going to go
I'm
out?
I'm still sort of a new guy.
Are you going to go out tonight?
No. Are you?
No. I live here.
See, I'm still sort of a new guy. There are many, many people I have not met in person.
Okay. All right. Speaking of fun on a Tuesday, Cerruti, as our representative on the fun committee here in the department, this isn't even an ESPN thing. Although, a side note to ESPN, there's radio and there's TV. I travel for radio for game day, and then I travel with TV game day. I didn't expect that to be even because it shouldn't have been. But it's a different world. Different world, man. And every morning, Wingo, Golic Jr., they get some muffins, they get a couple eggs, they get some OJ and some coffee. And a kid from TV walked over to the lounge and waited until they were off the air and poured himself a tall, and I'm not saying a 16-ounce glass, like a 24-ounce glass of OJ. And he looked at me, he's like, hey, I'm just, you know, grabbing some OJ. And you go, dude, we're in radio. Can you let us keep the OJ? So radio has stepped it up as a department. The goal has been in 2017 to have more fun. And the best way to figure out how to have fun is to ask a millennial. And Cerruti is still a millennial. And you're on the fun committee. So what is on tap for tonight?
Got a huge bowling event going down 7 o'clock in Southington. It's going to be some PAs, some producers, some executives, some bosses. So it's a good mix of people.
What will the turnout be? A dozen?
I think we had like 18 or so is the number.
Wow.
So
any on air?
No. Well, I don't even know if you guys are ready.
We got one. Jeff Dickerson.
Oh, there we go.
And also, I'm on the fun committee too, so let's not, come on.
Who's better on the fun committee, Bubba, you or Cerruti?
We both are great.
No. That's not true. I don't care.
We're both a lot of fun.
Do you know that we have some bowlers among us?
I didn't. I mean, I
if assume. You just take a look at the control room, okay?
I'm going to say
just
Cerruti's
look at the control room and survey everything behind the glass. Who is the top bowler? Rank them bowlers.
Mike A.
Bubba, and Cerruti.
Mike A., Bubba, and then Cerruti, a distant third.
Did you already know that?
No. I'm looking at everyone, and I'm going, I bet Mike A. is a good bowler.
Bubba has his own shirt, though.
Mike
and
A.
Not
ball.
Shirt.
Shoes. He's got shoes.
Ball.
He got
but
shoes.
Mike A., I'm not good. I was in a league. It doesn't mean I'm good. I was in a league. I bought all the stuff. I can throw it, roll it. But
throw it.
Mike is actually like good at bowling.
I was on the bowling team in high school. Yeah.
Did not know they had bowling.
Back up, ladies.
Yeah. You guys must have been terrors on the road.
Yeah.
What conference?
My OC in football was the bowling coach, and he said I didn't have to run sprints if I came out for the bowling team.
So what's your average? What's your average?
Back then it was about 196.
Wow.
Right. I asked Mike A. He goes tonight. What? You like that?
No one likes it as much as I do.
Do it again. Mike A. bowls a 196.
That kills me. I want it all the time. I want it even when it doesn't make sense.
Mike, what will you bowl tonight?
If I get higher of 150, I'll be happy.
Bubba, will
it's
you
been
bowl?
A while.
Bubba?
A sixer.
Yeah, my goal is just to get over 100 each. You know, like 120 would be cool. I'd be cool with that.
How much fun do you expect to have? How much more fun do you anticipate having, considering this is a fun committee event and not just your average get-together bowl deal?
I think the fun level will be high. You know, the department paid for it, so the execs paid for it all. We have food. They're supplying the food, and it's a cash bar. So,
cash bar, not bad.
We'll do that.
Not bad.
Would you break 100 if you went tonight?
Yeah, I would.
Would you go if you couldn't break 100?
I've been accused of a lot of things here lately. Like, I got accused by a bunch of people on the pull-up contest of, like, sitting it out because I didn't want to embarrass myself.
Can I just say, the pull-up peanut gallery was the worst.
It was. But I knew that was going to happen because you guys were doing the kipping thing. You didn't. I'm going to tell you right now.
I kipped.
Your pull-ups, yeah, but what you were doing was far more impressive than what Hasselbeck did. Okay? So those weren't 30 straight pull-ups. That's
right.
That kipping thing that's
we
different.
Agreed to it ahead of time. But
right.
I got to tell you, internet pull-up guy, he's the worst.
Well, they told me that I was too much of an egomaniac to put myself in a position to fail and come in third, yet completely forgetting that someone had to stay and do the show still.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
what kept you out
maybe,
wasn't the show.
Yeah,
it was fear.
Maybe. Maybe those are true. But someone did have to stay behind to do the segment.
But if we were at the gym and we broke into a pull-up competition, you're like, I probably can't win this. Would you tap out and not do it anyway?
No, I would try.
Okay, good.
I would try. But I wouldn't do those. I wouldn't do the kipping things.
Oh, your internet pull-up guy with a microphone.
I'm not saying that was easy what you guys did. He was in a suit and he went over 30. But it's a completely different deal. And we also learned that Chad Kroeger, that's the lead singer for Nickelback, and he's going to make a rejoin here. Okay, Joel Embiid, he was absolutely one very specific guy, and then became the other guy. That's next, ESPN Radio.